Hallelujah. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. Oh, faithful God. Hallelujah. Together, you are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place.
You are awesome.
You are awesome in this place.
For you're the faithful God. Father in heaven, we need more of you. We need more of you this morning. We lay our cares down at your feet. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Sing unto him this morning.
I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you, Lord. More than words can say, I need you more.
sing all together, I need you more.
I need you more.
More than yesterday.
More than yesterday. I need you, Lord.
More than words.
More than words can say. I need you more.
Than ever before.
Than ever before. I need you, Lord.
Do it again. Hallelujah.
I need you, Lord.
Sing, I need you, Lord.
I need you more.
Yes, more.
More than yesterday. I need you more.
More than words.
More than words can say. I need you more.
Than ever before.
Than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you,
than the next heartbeat, more than anything else. We need you more now than ever before. For Lord, we are very aware that without you we are nothing. As people, we are scared even of a chicken that's rushing at us, not to talk about the forces of darkness that want to destroy. It is you that gives us the license, the capacity, the authority, the empowerment to live and to live life to the full. But Lord, more than what we can get as benefits, we just want you more. Help us to grow deeper and deeper in love. Help us to become less so that you can become more in our lives. Thank you that you're doing a work in us that's beyond even our wildest hopes, dreams, and aspirations. We rest in your loving kindness, and we say yes to your will for our lives. Surprise us daily as you change us into the same image of who you are. Thank you that when we ask, you will do. Make us more like you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, I'm glad to have you here tonight in this service. In a sense, we're going to continue tonight with some of the things that we started talking about this morning. This morning, we're talking about the God who remembers his covenant towards us. But in the process of talking about it, we talked about the part that we need to play, the part of repentance. And part of the focus on repentance that we talked about was that we needed to have God placed in his rightful place in our lives. That he has to be priority number one. Amen? And then we talked about the fact that it's not just what we say that matters, the actions we take. So, for example, I said to us this morning, if we're raising up our children and it's their sporting game and they are there on time, it's time for them to go to school and they are right there on time, it's time for you to go to work and you are right there on time, and then when it's time to go to church, you come whenever. You're saying to that child, all of these other things are very important. That's why we keep time to that. But this, not so much. And we need to repent of our actions as it relates to God. God has to be preeminent in our lives. Praise the Lord. He cannot be put in the caboose until we need him. He has to be forefront. And so he says to us in his word, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Please help me with my monitors, please. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Seek God first. Put God in the premium point. And then you can experience God in every other aspect of your life, in supernatural ways. In fact, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You either love the one and hate the other. And when it talks about hating the other, it's not necessarily talking about the emotion of hate, but in terms of preference. Mammon is a powerful force. In fact, it is the most powerful force other than God. Mammon is more powerful than Satan. Materialism is more powerful and God says you cannot have that before me. When I do not honor God financially, that's what I do. I'm putting God somewhere else. That's why he says you've got to bring me the first tenth. You know, do you know that a tithe is not just 10%? The tithe is the first 10%. So before I do anything, so in a sense, it becomes the first fruit. Now, we're not talking about legalism here. We're talking about priority. What's number one in my life? Who's sitting at the number one seat? No competition. God. And we said, then I need to take that mindset and point at every area of my life. Is God first? When I wake up in the morning, is God first? If he's Alpha, the beginning and the end, when I rest my head to sleep at night, is God there? If he's not, then I need to recalibrate by repentance and say, God, I've been messing up in this area. I need you to help me, to put you first. That the first thought that comes to my mind is a thought of thanksgiving for this day that you've made for me to rejoice and be glad. What right do I have to complain when I didn't put God first in the day? When something goes wrong, you didn't honor him, you honored whatever plans you had. And why is that important to us? Because we are in the season that God calls the season of repentance. Between the last feast, which we just finished a few days ago, of Rosh Hashanah, to the next feast day, which starts October the 1st and 2nd, which is Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement, God set out a time for us to reflect and say, okay, let me check everything out. You know, in the old days, when you had a tune-up, in the older vehicles, they had spark plugs. Remember that? And they used to have spacers. You check the spacing between the spark plug, because if your spark plug is not properly calibrated, then you're going to be having some issues with your engine. It's not going to be starting smooth and things will go rough. So you went through a tune-up. Well, this is a time for tuning up, checking out. God, how are we doing? How are we doing? I know you're a covenant-keeping God, and you're taking responsibility, but you still want me to line up, to be in alignment. And God, I come to you today. Help me to come into alignment. Now, when God calls you and I to that alignment, he's not calling us to a place of condemnation. That's not the idea. He's calling us to a place where we are exercised so that we become relevant not only in our relationship with him, but in how we deal with people in the earth realm. God wants me to be a conduit for healing, a conduit for restoration, a conduit, a pipe that he can flow through to bring life to many. And so, in this covenant placement, God calls you and I to that place where he can trust you and trust me with his power for greater purposes. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, as we deliberated on the word of God, we saw in the book of Exodus chapter 2, Exodus 2, 24 and 25, God is remembering his people. He'd given a promise to Abraham, an oath to Isaac, a commandment to Jacob. And the word of God says here in Exodus 2:24, he says, as the people of God were crying because they were being afflicted, they said, crying out to God. The word of God says, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. What was that covenant? That he was going to give them a land. It says, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. This is a God who has no respect for nobody. It says, God looked and he had respect for them. Respect unto them. What is that all about? It's about the fact that God is saying, I remember what I said and I'm going to bring it to pass now. I'm going to move everything into motion to bring about the restoration that you need. And I believe God is saying the same thing to us as we repent before him, as we cry out to him and say, God, we need help. We have been in this place for too long that God will respect his covenant towards us. There are things that God has spoken to us as his people, as believers, as a church, as an institution, as the body of Christ, that we need to tap into. For example, the word of God says to us that the works that he did shall we do also, and greater works than these shall we do, because he's going to be with the Father. We need to cry out to the Father at this time. The Bible tells us about the groaning, that we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit of God will groan within us. Hallelujah. I believe that this is the time, because repentance is not only turning away from sin, it's about being replatformed into the higher levels. Amen? Just like you go back to the penthouse. So God also wants to bring you in repentance to the higher levels where we operate with the mind of Christ. I believe that the world needs to see the power of God in action in our day and our time. It's been too long. Amen? We've had a little dust here and there, you know, little bits of a goosebump and Don King hairstyle, you know, when the Spirit of God moves, and a little bit of shaking and falling down and whatever else, and just happy time. But this is more than that now. We need a demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We cannot be reading and going back and saying, this is what was said. That's what Gideon was saying. Gideon said, you're saying, I'm a mighty man of valor. Where are all those miracles that we're told about? Where are those miracles? Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? then we need to know the power of God again. Hallelujah. And why should we be able to have that? Because God is a covenant-keeping God. He needs to remember for us what he said. Because when he first promised that his power is going to come upon those disciples on the day of Pentecost, it was prior to the fact that they were going to disappoint. Every one of them denied him. Not one of them believed that he was going to rise again from the dead. Not one. Read the Bible. And that's one of the proofs of the fact that you know for sure that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Because in the first place, they did not believe it. They were scared. Not even the women believed it. They were going to the graveside, to the tomb, to bring spices. Why are you bringing spices if you know that he's gone? And when the finally saw that he was gone, they were saying, show us where you took his body. Show us. And now they are willing to die. They are willing to be crucified, to be flogged, to be shot down with arrows, beheaded. Well, it's because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this thing happened. And it was because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one who called them had empowered them, and therefore they are not going to deny, because he said signs and wonders were going to follow them, and here it was. Jesus is no longer there. He is no longer praying for them while they went out. He is gone. And the miracles continued. We need to know that power again. I am not satisfied with what I've got. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We cannot be competing with the doctors and medicine in the natural world. There are things that they are doing medically today that we are not seeing in the church. We don't need that. We need the power of God that can heal instantaneously, so that the world, just like Pharaoh's magicians, will say, we can't compete. This is the finger of God. This is the finger of God. That God is still alive. He's not dead. And he can use our lives again. Hallelujah. As a covenant-keeping God. So we need to repent in our mindset of thinking, well, the days of healing are gone. Well, God had medicine and doctors for our good. That may be true. But I didn't see Jesus sending anybody to any doctor. So if he didn't, and those that had spent their time and all their money with doctors and did not get any results, just touched the hem of his garment and got their healing, then that same power is available to us, and greater than that is available to us. Amen? And we must not back off and think, well, we have fasted for so long and it hasn't happened yet. No, keep at it. One of these days, one of us will break through. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to break through. And then everybody breaks through. Once upon a time, they said man could not run a 4-minute mile. That was impossible. The human body is not built to run a mile in 4 minutes, until one guy broke it. And now for you to even qualify to run in the Olympics, you must be at the 4 minutes or less. God is looking for somebody that's going to break through. Somebody whose mind is renewed in saying, God, turn my life around so that your name is exalted. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play church. I want the real deal. And I sense deep within my spirit that we are closer now to the manifestation of this divine purpose of God than we've ever been. Why is this important? Hebrews 12. We talked about verse 14 earlier today. It says, we should follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Why is that statement, without which no man shall see the Lord, important? Because that is a foundation for miracles. Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father doing. When Nicodemus asked him, talked to him about how he did his miracles in John 3, Nicodemus said, we know that you are a master, a rabbi, that you've come from God. For you can't possibly do these miracles except that God is with you. And the response of Jesus to the inquisition of Nicodemus, which was related to miracles. Actually, let's read it together so you can see it very clearly in John 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that you must have come from God because the miracles that you're doing. Jesus answered and said unto him, watch this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom. He's talking about miracles. Jesus says, for the miracles to happen, you got to see the kingdom of God. We look at that statement, being born again, in terms of me getting saved. I'm born again, I'm saved. And Jesus is saying, no, beyond that. You need to be born again to see into the kingdom of God so that you can do miracles. Now he tells us in Hebrews, follow peace with all men. Who is this Pharisee? The Pharisee, they are against Jesus. They're fighting against Jesus. They're resisting him. They and the Sadducees, they were not following peace. But this one came to him. So he was following peace. And he was following holiness. And Jesus is saying, this is a pathway for your eyes being open, so you can see miracles and do miracles. God is calling us to operate peaceably with each other. So another place for us to repent is to repent from strife-ish ways, battling with each other, attacking each other, going against each other. The anointing of God is present in the place where unity is. Behold, how pleasant, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When they were in one place, in one accord, that's when the Holy Spirit came. And anything that wants us to be separated from each other, being critical of each other, not upholding each other with a language of faith, is that thing that is causing us not to operate in the fullness of the power of God. We need to be a united force. God is not coming for Catholics or Anglicans or Presbyterians or Methodists or people of Word of Faith, charismatic Pentecostals, Lutherans. He's coming for his body. And his body is not splintered. And we need to repent of the division and divisiveness that's operating in our midst as God's people. We don't all worship the same way. Because some guy is standing straight like a pillar does not mean he's not worshiping God. That is his way. The other guy may be flogging his hand right and left and punching people. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that is his way. Some people cannot help but dance. Dance away. We're all going to the same place. No fingerprint is the same. So judging other people and saying, are you not spiritual enough because this, because that? You're singing from a book. What kind of nonsense is that? Sing freely unto the Lord. Sing from the screen. Right. Or somebody's preaching the word and he has everything written down and doesn't look at your face, just reads it. No, he's not a good preacher because he's not jumping around. He's not screaming at the top of his voice. What foolishness is that? God can use anybody any which way. That's the way God uses that person. You know, many years ago, I was pastoring a church, an evangelical church, somewhat like a Methodist. It's called Albright Memorial Evangelical Church. It was just down the street here. And when it was my turn to minister the word, I was also responsible to get the music together. And they sang from hymnals. And I remember if one of the first times I had this very deep revelation from the Word of God. I was so excited. I'm going to preach this thing. Oh my, where am I going to get a song from? And I opened the hymnal and I saw a hymn. And I started reading this hymn. And my balloon was busted. This hymn was written some 300-400 years ago. And everything I thought was deep revelation was right there in the hymn book. What? Somebody knew this? 300-400 years ago? What is wrong with us? You know what's wrong? We don't build on revelation and revelation and revelation. Everybody's trying to build their own thing. Everybody's trying to build their own thing. We have not learned how to work together cohesively for a greater purpose. Everybody wants to be a leader. We need to repent of that. Repent judging other people and saying they are not spiritual enough because they don't act the way I like. Is it worship for you or for God? The challenges that we face today, are challenges that we allow to be erected because of the lies that we've believed and because we've not pursued oneness. Sought God with all of our hearts and recognize that God has shed his blood abroad in our hearts, every one of us. He has good things on his mind concerning us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And tonight, I really feel there's so much that I need to share with us tonight that I've not touched at all. But God is, by his leading me in the direction that I'm going right now to remind us of what he needs done. It is part of God chastising us. He says in Hebrews 12, verse 6, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth." I've come to this verse quite a few times in the last few days. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So when God receives me as his son, he also receives me to scourge me. See, well, that doesn't sound nice. Why will he receive me to whoop me? He says, he receives me to scourge me, and now my response to the scourging. If you enjoy or endure chastening, if you endure that chastening, that scourging, he says, God dealeth with you as with sons. What is the point being made there if you endure chastening, which is what God is giving to me? He says, God dealeth with you as with sons. He says, I'm dealing with you as a son because I'm chastening you. And I'm dealing with you as a son, not only in the fact that I'm chastening you, I'm scourging you, I'm whooping you, but I'm doing so for a reason. He says, "For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If you spare the rod, you spoil the child." You know, there is abuse. And that's not what God is talking about. God doesn't abuse his children, but he corrects them. When he speaks to us and says, "I need you to repent about this or about that," it is part of the chastening. Says, what father doesn't chasten their sons? He says, if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. And this is the broad sense of God. God's saying, all are partakers. And when he's saying all are partakers, it's not just talking about sons alone. It's talking about everyone, because he wants everyone to be part of the family. He says, but if you are not getting chastised, then you are bastards. You are fatherless. You're not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Your father chastise you, he says, you respected him. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So the chastisement is so that we can live. Do you see that? So how is this life brought about? It says, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what is the scourging then? The scourging is the word of God. Oh, I don't like what the pastor was talking about today. I'm not coming back to this church. Well, you're not a son. You just declared yourself a bastard. Because the word of God was preached, and now you are offended by the word of God. I don't like it when pastor starts talking about giving. He talks about tithing, and he talks about this, and he talks about that. Okay. You've not learned how to put God first when it comes to your finances. Who are you upset with? Are you giving it to God or are you giving it to man? Are you working in partnership with God or building your own kingdom? Because, you know, something I learned many years ago, everybody tithes. You know that? Everybody. You cannot not tithe. It's a spiritual law. You will tithe. You're going to either tithe to God or you will tithe to the enemy. Guaranteed. Because if you don't give it to God, the enemy has a way to access your funds and you're going to pass it on. And he will keep you in that cycle and make you begin to think, well, I don't have much, so I cannot give. You cannot give because you have not given. The word of God says, give, and it shall what? Be given unto you. If you sow, you're going to reap. You don't reap in the same amount that you sowed with. And when the enemy comes, and he will try to come steal from you when you are a giver, you can say, Lord, your word is that you will rebuke the devourer for my sake. If there's anything that I have done to give the enemy access, I'm drawing on your covenant promise that you rebuke the devourer for my sake. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. And help me correct my ways. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, you shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of what? Spirits. What is the word of God saying then? He is a Father of spirits. That must mean that you are a spirit. Praise the Lord. Guess what else you are? The word of God says, every good and perfect gift proceeds from the Father of what? Lights. In whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, of his own will begat he us. So the other thing that God tells us in the book of James is that we are light beings. We are spirit and we are light. Praise the Lord. And that's how we live. He says, for they verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. The natural man chastises you after their own pleasure. You're not doing something that pleases them, so they chastise you. He says, however, God is not doing it for his pleasure, but he for our profit. So that we are profited by that, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Part of our profit is in being partakers of his holiness. His holiness is his hallowedness. That's a place of honor. Now, God is very practical. He says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When you're going through chastisement and the word of God is poking you, he says, it's not happy time. He says, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those that have been exercised by the word of God, exercised by the rebuke, exercised by the chastening. It says, you receive the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And furthermore, verse 12, you go through all of that, you go through all of that exercise so that this happens. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. What's the word of God talking about here? It's talking about the fact that while we're going as sons, we're going through the chastisement, there are going to be people who, I can't take this anymore. It says, you that have been exercised, go alongside that brother who's going through that depression and encourage him in the Lord. Encourage him. Say, brother, give me your hand. Let's go together. Let's go together. God has something greater for us. He's helping us. You can make it. We can make it together. Let's go. Let's go. How can you tell me that? Yeah, I saw you going through that. I know I went through that too. But hey, I'm still here. The love of God in my heart has not cooled down. I still love God. Even though he slays me, yet will I serve. Yet will I worship. He says, I want you to go through that so that you can help other people. And verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet. How do you make straight paths for your feet? I remind you again what I said before. It is by acknowledging God in all of your ways. Acknowledging God, putting God in the place of priority in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. He says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lest that which is lame. In essence, God is saying, I want you to be strong so that you can help those that are lame to get healed so that they are not turned out of the way. Because no lameness is going to come into my presence. I want to partner with you to help everyone. Hallelujah. So when I'm going through particular things, I'm going through them not only for my benefit, but for my profit so that I can be helpful to other people. I don't know how many times somebody's telling me about what they're going through, and I can say, I can relate. I went through this experience. You did that? You went through that? Yes. How did you come out of it? And I share with them, and they're encouraged in their heart. I say, okay. That lame man is not turned out of the way. But rather, he says, but let it rather be healed. That healing comes about not just because I'm anointed. It comes about because I'm a son that's gone through some chastening. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. We have a high priest who's not and strange from the infirmities, but has gone through all of it, was tempted in every situation. Jesus went through temptations, but sinned not. And he knew how tough it was. So when I'm going through something, I can cry out to him and say, God, I'm going through this. I don't know how I got here, but I'm about to mess up if you don't help me. And he comes and he helps. Oh, have I ever been in situations where I thought, oh my, I am going to blow it. How am I going to get out of this one? Lord, have mercy, help me. And I come out of it. And it was like I never was there. Everybody goes through one challenge or the other. But grace is sufficient. Amen? So it says, now follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Watch out, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You see your brother, they are messing around with something that you can see will become bitterness in them. talk them out of it. Why you are agreeing with foolishness? That your right is not the greatest deal. Stay right and not go wrong. Be angry and sin not. Well, you don't know what, you know, brother so-and-so did to me. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, I understand. Well, God understands how you feel. And the God who understands how you feel, what is he saying about it? Are you helping that brother or that sister to turn away from that which is going to get them into a place that will endanger their soul? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When you are strengthened, the lame is healed. But when you allow bitterness in there, other people are going to be defiled. How I've seen people come even into this house and allow bitterness. And today, they are not here for whatever reason. Sometimes you think, okay, I'm going to go to another church. They go to that other church and they get wounded, because how you exit is how you enter. If you step out with anger, you will enter the other place with anger, expecting whatever it is that you're expecting, and somebody, you know, will find you. My daughter was was sharing something with me the other day. She said there was a wasp, and she saw this wasp in her washroom, and she attacked the wasp, and it fell down, and then she thought, okay, it's dead. And the thing came back up and tried to attack her. So she ran out and she was looking for something to kill this thing. She couldn't find it. She locked it inside the washroom, but forgot to tell the husband. And the wasps came out and says, "Did you open the door?" He said, "Did you say wasp?" "No, I didn't say wasp." He says, "All day she's looking for this wasp. No wasp." And she's sitting relaxed on her couch, and this wasp straight into her ear. The wasp was waiting for her. "You mess with me, I'm going to mess with you." Oh, scared her witless. Well, that's what the enemy does. You got to kill the spirit of bitterness quick, swift. That's why I don't listen to gossip. That's why I do. If somebody comes and is, I don't care who you are, you can be my wife, you can be my son, my daughter, church member, elder, whatever. You start telling me something about somebody and you're making a judgment statement about that person, I said, "Hey," I shut it off right there, because I'm not going to carry your issues. I shut it down. I got to protect me first so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Don't start that story with me. He said, many get defiled. And what happens? He says, lest there be any fornicator. Or from bitterness and strife, you create a room for fornication. Yeah. Why? Because the person who is bitter is always looking for somebody to love them. Be very careful. You know, how many times I've seen men entrapped by the enemy because they are trying to comfort somebody that is in pain from a bad relationship or whatever. Oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And before you know it, it's okay has become something else. Fornication, a profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. When you become embittered, you create a room where material things become so important. Esau was not necessarily a bad guy. He in a natural way, he was a very okay guy that the father really wanted to bless him. The father wouldn't want to bless him if there was nothing about him that was okay. But what the father did not know was that this young man placed material things more important in a very casual way than what he had from God. The grace to be the firstborn. He did not hold it as dear. What about God and you are you casual about? He lost his birthright, he sold it. And Bible says in verse 17, this is the scary part. It says, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He sought the place of repentance. So there is a time that repentance is acceptable. And then God says, time up. That's it. It's not happening anymore. We've gone past that. Because that thing is so deep inside of you now, there's nothing that can work on this. You have become one with your problem. And that's how people get lost. I will never forgive this person. I will never this. I will never that. And now your life is all messed up. And God is saying, think again. Reset your priorities. Where have you placed me in the equation of all these things? Because the person that you are so mad about, you've given a seat of preeminence in your life, and that has displaced me as God over your life. They are controlling your emotions. You think about their name and you are off. What are you going to do about this? And the challenge is this, that I do the right thing. I choose righteously and say yes to God and his will. Amen? We'll stop there tonight. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us to reflect on those areas that we need to turn over to you. Those areas that have taken root in our lives, that you did not plant. We're asking, oh God, that your word be fulfilled in our lives. Even the word that says, that which my Father has not planted shall be rooted out. Root it all out. And don't just leave it fallow. Fill it with your life, the seed that is incorruptible. Help us to know what being born again is, so that we can behold the things in heavens and have a God perspective, a heavenly perspective on the issues that we face on a daily basis. And we can boldly say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. We're asking, oh God, for full transformation. We know that our person seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus is flawless, it is holy. We want that same to be manifested in our physical bodies, in this physical realm in the earth. That which is in heaven and that which is in the earth mirror each other in the righteousness of the Most High God. Help us live right. Help us live right. Help us live right and do right. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. It's a joy to share this time with you tonight. Our next main gathering is going to be October the 1st. I want to encourage you. These are feasts of the Lord. And God says to us that we should not miss it. Everybody needs to be in his house. And as we come, he says, no man should appear before him empty-handed. When we finish on the 2nd, on the 6th, we start 7 days of meetings. That will be the Feast of Tabernacles. 7 days straight. We're going to have speakers that are going to be here with us for those 7 days. One of my spiritual sons, Pastor Apostle Mattiola, Daniel Mattiola from London, is going to be with us during these meetings. Another dear friend of mine, Bishop Jolly, from Sierra Leone, is going to be with us. We're going to have an apostle, a prophet of God, more properly stated, Prophet Paul Ame. How many of you remember Paul Ame? Some of you do. It's a real sharp prophet of God. He's going to be with us. And then, virtually, he's going to be with us. But then, towards the end of the month of October, he's going to be here with us in person. Praise the Lord. You've seen him minister virtually. He's so sharp. I remember every meeting. I remember him ministering, calling a dear sister, her village in Sierra Leone. Mentioned the name of the village, mentioned where some of the attacks from that village were coming from towards this sister. Never met her, doesn't know who that person is, called. That's how sharp he is. It's a very strong prophetic voice. Amen? And when God uses him in that dimension, it's just one. He's one of my sons that, you know, I go to when I'm trying to deal with certain things. I'll call him and say, I'm dealing with this. I don't seem to be getting a breakthrough. Process it with me and call me back and let me know what you're picking up. And he'll be on top of it. Now, we bring these ministries because nobody has all of it. It's a body, and God uses everyone differently. And I want us to receive the benefit of these ministries and also have the opportunity to sow into the lives of these men and women of God, because whoever they are impacting around the world, you become part of the ones that supported and bringing forth grace into those lives. Amen? I got a call the other day, and somebody said, was mentioning me to somebody in a different country. He said, do you know this man of God, Bishop Mike? Yeah, how do you know him? Oh, he did this, he did that. I don't even remember the guy. But God used me to do something extraordinary in his life. Now, that man is touching lives in the nations of the world, and guess what? I have sown into that life. I get benefits. Amen? So when we bring people, it's in so many levels. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Nothing is more important than being in the house of God during these times, because these times, during these fall festivals of the Lord, they are portal times, openings, that God downloads particular things into the lives of his sons and daughters that will impact you throughout the year. So do everything to participate. Get others to be engaged and involved in these meetings. As you very well know, all of our meetings, special meetings, start at 6:30. And that's how it's going to be. If for any reason we feel that we need more time, especially when Prophet Paul Ame is going to be here in person, I might actually move the meetings to 6 o'clock, you know, to give opportunity for him to be able to minister to everyone prophetically with a word of knowledge or a prophetic declaration. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it's a joy having you. We bless those that have been online with us tonight. And take note of the next set of meetings. The theme is Redeemed and Forgiven, October 1st and 2nd. Praise the Lord.